The Holy Gospel comes from the 13th chapter of Luke. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
You can go ahead and be seated, except for any children who'd like to come up and talk with me for a second. Please talk with me. Yeah, come on over here. come on over. Or we'll go over there, maybe. All right. This is rare. You're lucky to be here today, because I'm going to talk about my feet. You don't often get to see a pastor's feet. They're special feet. Actually, they're feet are weird. And I was going to say take off your shoes, but my kids' shoes, you just leave your shoes on. Mine are, my kids' shoes smell. But so I'm wearing flip-flops today, and they're Croc flip-flops because I usually wear Crocs. But I wanted to share some things about my feet. It's kind of like, you know how, have you heard about fingerprints? What's the deal with fingerprints? Everyone has a different one. Same thing with feet. We went on a vacation. We went to Disneyland. A lot of people had flip-flops on. I think I saw a lot of feet. There are a lot of different looking feet, let me tell you. Now, my feet are just regular old feet. And what I wanted to share is, you know, I read a story about a woman who had this ailment. She was bent over. Maybe you've seen some people who have been bent over. And that's how they walk. That's how they live. Well, I have feet that... I have two special things that not a lot of people have, so the first one is, some have heard about this, but I've got this new thing called gout. Now what it is, it's like arthritis. It's a thing that hurts your leg. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes it doesn't. Right now it feels good, so I'm happy about that. But sometimes you wake up and it feels like someone just hit you with a hammer right on your ankle and it hurts. Has anybody ever hurt their ankle, like fallen over or hurt your ankle a little bit, or maybe hurt your wrist or an elbow? You know that when it hurts really a lot, you look pretty active. So boy, that sure hurts a lot. And sometimes some people, they get things that hurt a lot. That's just how it is sometimes. So that's part of what I have my feet. But now the special thing I have, which I used to think, well, this also hurt when I was younger, but it doesn't hurt as much anymore. But I have this thing called, see, gout, that sounds like a really old disease. This other thing is called Haglund's deformity. Now, isn't that a weird name? Haglund's deformity. Kind of, now, when I first heard about it, anybody heard of Harry Potter? Harry Potter, yeah. So when I thought they were saying Hagrid's deformity at first. I thought, hey, Harry Potter, that's not so bad, but it's Haglund's. I don't know who Haglund was, so check out these heels. Check out the heels I've got. Look at that. See that bump right there? Check it out. Now, if you're brave enough, you can feel it just to check it out. But it's kind of like, now what one doctor said was that it could have been that maybe at one time my ancestors a long time ago were birds and I had a part of my foot went backwards. Well, I mean, that could be. I don't know. That's what the doctor said. I mean, I was at the doctor's. So this is a residual claw. That's what these are, maybe. So I just thought, feet are strange. Aren't they strange things? But these are my unique feet. And And sometimes they hurt, and sometimes they don't. But I have feet, and I'm able to walk around. And so I thank God. Even the woman in this story, she had this condition where she was looking on the ground for 18 years. Doesn't that seem like a long time? Who's the oldest person here? How old are you? 8, 10, 33. That's how old Jesus was, just so you know. That's with a baby. So well, besides a 33-year-old. She was 18 years. So all the life that you've had so far, imagine even more life where all you looked at was the ground. And then Jesus came in the story and saw this person and said, stand up, you're going to be healed. And she stood up. And she was healed, and you know what she did? She praised God. She said, thank you, God, for letting me be healed. And who knows what's going to happen in life? Sometimes you're going to have weird-looking feet that are different than other people. Sometimes your ankle's maybe going to hurt, or maybe your elbow's going to hurt. But no matter what, Jesus was saying in this story, God is with you. No matter what, whether it's painful, or whether it's odd-looking, or whether it's cool, because you can stand and you can walk and you can have fun, and when you fall down, someone takes care of you. God will be with you. That's the message. God will be with you. So that's what I just wanted to tell you. God will be with you, and feet are weird. Those are the other things. So thank you for coming up, and you can go ahead and sit down. I was going to say I have to wear these because the doctor told me to wear these, but that would be a lie. But maybe maybe I should ask the doctor if that'd be all right. So a quick review of this story. The first, you know, when I first read this story, Jesus heals this woman. This woman's minding her own business. She gets healed. She praises God. Everything's good. I mean, if you know people if you've seen people in this condition who are bent over, whether it's just a little bit or a lot, you know, we know of a person who in Aberdeen, a great faithful person praising God all the time, he probably will never stand up straight. I don't know, because I'm not God and I'm not Jesus. So I don't know the answer to that. But my first question on this whole text was, how come that lady? How come that lady got healed? Why did Jesus heal that lady? Now, fortunately, because I subscribe to the Olympian, the newspaper, the local newspaper, there's an article that was when prayers go unanswered. Did anybody read this or see this? Yeah, if you saw. So, fortunately, the paper was very, it was right on target with what I was trying to figure out. So, you have, the question is, what do you say to those who say they pray and pray, but never get an answer? And I'm sure the person that I know who's bent over has thought at some point in their life, God, can you heal me of that? And perhaps all of you have said that at some point. God, heal me of this thing. Now, if you've been fortunate enough not to have to ask that question too much, or you're more a crazy kind of person and you can tolerate a lot of pain. I'm not a good pain person. I'm very weak. Beth can tell you I suck at pain. But if you can bear a lot of pain, you might praise God through pain, and you understand that. But for most of us, why God? Why this woman? And why not my mother? Or why not my brother or my sister? Or why not my child? God, why? Why? And so these two people, the Reverend Penny Elwood in Blue Springs, Missouri, United Methodist Church of the Resurrection, and the Reverend Raymond Davis, founder and pastor emeritus of, I should have worn my reading glasses, Greater Corinthian Church of Christ, they both say, blah-bitty-blah, pastor stuff, blah-bitty-blah, scripture. They say some stuff, and the first person says, you just got to keep praying. You just got to keep praying. That's what the first person says. And then the second person says, quotes some scripture, one, God's answer is wait, and God's answer is be still. And the point is, and then they use a praise hymn, that's their ending quote, he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. So that's what these two pastors said. They said, you got to keep praying, because that's what Scripture says. That's what Paul says in whatever Paul's letter that is, Thessalonians, I think, pray constantly. Keep praying. You got to keep praying. So here we're back to this scene. This woman gets healed. Why this person? I can only say about prayer that perhaps prayer is kind of like suggestions to God. So, you know, I mentioned about going to Disneyland. There's a Cars ride there. It's the longest line in the thing. Sometimes it's 160 minutes to wait to go on a ride. I don't know, that's a lot. It's more than 2 hours, right? That's a lot more than 2 hours to wait to go on this ride, which is awesome. So, I mean, I get it. But so I go on ride with Isaiah, and you take the single rider line, and then it's only 35 minutes, and then you get right on. You might not go with your family. So Isaiah and I go, and there's a family of four, because it's a six-person car. You know, nice. Disney thought about six people instead of just five or four. They're thinking. Gas mileage is pretty good. So we're driving through, and half the ride doesn't work for them. Now, this is like the fourth or fifth time we've been on the ride, so we understand it. And so when we're almost done and they're talking amongst themselves and they've been to Disney World where there's another kind of car ride sort of similar, and they said, well, that one seems better. And I said, well, you missed half of what this ride is all about. I mean, so you should tell them, you know, half of it didn't work so that you can ride it again. That was a suggestion I gave to them. So we get off the car, and they kind of look at each other, and then they depart. And Isaiah and I stop and I say, because if you don't ask, you don't get. I know that rule. And Jesus said that, keep knocking. And so I said, you know, half the ride didn't work. Oh, yeah, go ahead, just go back on, and, you know, you can do it again. So we did the ride again. Now, I gave them a suggestion, this person who was in charge, and that person happened to take my suggestion and let me do it. And perhaps that's what prayer is like. We might suggest to God, you know, my mother, who I have a mother who's still alive, who survived cancer now for going on 2 years, and she chose to have surgery, which is a great thing, and she's leading a life that she wouldn't have led otherwise because the cancer would have destroyed her life and killed her, you know, within a year. So she's had a good experience. But my suggestion to God was, you know, I'd like that to work out so my mom could be with me. And God took that suggestion. But I've prayed other prayers that God hasn't taken that suggestion. And so the bottom line answer, at least for me, is I don't know how prayer works. Praying, yes, it's a good thing. We prayed for Henry and baptism, because we know in baptism, this is God's work. So I have three bottom lines about what this text is about. Here's the three bottom lines. Let me give you a quick context. He's teaching in the synagogue, Jesus is. And the synagogue leader, you know, they have that argument. Arguments are okay back in those days. In the Jewish culture, arguments were a good thing. It was an honor-shame society. If someone said, hey, I got a question about you, Emeritus Pastor David. You know, you said last week about this, that, and the other thing, but I think it's another way. Now, in that society, he needs to respond. So that's, I'm the congregational leader, and he's Jesus. No, I'll be Jesus. Wait, no, I don't know which do I want to be. Who should be crucified? But in that culture, as a congregational leader and Jesus who's making a statement, that it's okay. This argument was normal. There was no disrespect. There was great respect. And so Jesus answered how we did. And the crowd, as it says, when he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. That doesn't mean like we think put to shame and they need to leave town. That's just they were put in their place for that moment, because we have arguments all the time about stuff. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things he was doing. So the crowd thought Jesus was doing and saying good things and wasn't downplaying the congregational leader. The congregational leader is just trying to keep the rules in order and making sure. And that's why he talked about the Sabbath. And so, you know, these were technical questions and arguments. And it's normal, whether it's a dinner table or whether it's a community like this, normal conversation, communal things. So that argument's normal. But what's the bottom line on this thing? So here's my three bottom lines. The first is, Jesus heals. Jesus heals. That's the bottom line in this story. If you read it, Jesus heals. Does this woman want him to heal her? Who knows? Who knows? But Jesus heals her. He says, stand up, and she does, and then he touches her. He helps her up. He crosses all the boundaries in that society to say, daughter of Abraham, daughter of Jesus Christ, son of Jesus Christ, for us who are here, you are fully included here. That's what Jesus said. Jesus heals. That's just what Jesus does. Jesus heals. So if you're going to ask for healing and pray for healing, no, Jesus does that. And Jesus speaks for God. And Jesus comes from God. And that's where grace and mercy and healing come from God. So just know that. Jesus heals. Why? How? Well, those are tougher questions to answer. There's a story in Acts. Luke wrote Luke, and a lot of people think Luke wrote Acts as a kind of a follow-up story. So in that story, Peter is walking along, and there's a beggar. The beggar says, give me some money, like beggars say, because they need things. And what does Peter say? Do you know that story? Do you remember that story? He says, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I got Jesus. And I know Jesus heals. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And that beggar stands up and walks. And like the woman, he's praising and leaping and thanking God. Because Jesus heals. And in that time, for whatever reason, it worked out for Peter. Now we could have a big healing session here and it might work out for six of you. I don't know. You know, someone, if you have cancer, maybe that's going to go. I don't know, because that's God's business. But Jesus heals. The second thing, God works among us. That's why we have baptism right here. And we baptize babies as Lutherans. Because it's a real physical way to know that God works among us and is with us. The same with our communion here that we're going to have. This bread, it's real. This is real. It's real wine. And it's real bread. This is a... And I've just tainted it if you're gluten-free. Sorry, so you can't use this. I'll just eat it. But this is real stuff. Because God is among in a real way, like I'm drinking. Thank you, God. And finally, we are creatures of God. If you know Jesus heals, well, you've probably experienced it. So you know that. And if you don't know Jesus heals, hey, give it a try. Remember your baptism, take a drink of this. Ask God to heal you. But we are creatures of God. And when you realize that you are a creature of God, the only thing you can do, the only thing you can do is what this woman did. The only thing you can do is praise God. The only thing you can do, the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things he was doing. The only thing you can do is praise God when you know you are a creature of God. Jesus heals. God works among us. We are creatures of God. This prayer of the day, dang it, that's a good one. That's some whoever wrote this one. We, you know, we get these prayers from a year ahead of time. Go to the prayer of day on page 6. And that's how we're going to close this time together. We're going to pray this prayer together. It's a great prayer because it has everything here. Jesus heals. God is among us. We are creatures of God. Let's pray this together out loud. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen and amen.